How many of you have brought your swords today? Do you know that we're in a battle? Do you know how to dress for a battle? What are your sword? Sword of truth. What is the shield? Shield of faith. What is your helmet? Salvation. What is your breastplate? Righteousness. Christ's righteousness. And what is the garment? Praise. My Bible said vengeance. What is the belt? Truth. Yep. What is the sandals? Peace. Sandals or shoes or Christ's peace. Where did we find this information? Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. And some of it is also in Isaiah 59:17. The title of my sermon is A Guide for Climbing Mountains in Your Life. Any of you have any mountains in your life? We all have mountains, and they are mountains daily. This story comes from 1 Samuel 14, 1 through 23. And I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version. I want to talk to you today about Mount Thielson. This last summer, we climbed Mount Thielson all the way. It was pretty level going all the way up to about right here. Then going up this ridge, you got through some rocky, sandy stuff, kind of gravelly, where you take a step forward, slip back a little, until you get clear up to right there. Then you're climbing on bigger rocks, and that goes pretty easy. Well, right up here, right at the top, right near the top, is a shelf. And there probably can be 100 people sitting on that shelf up there. That's where most of the people make it. But we had the courage to go to the top because someone guided us through the rocks. The rocks are like big boulders, and there's cracks, and you can slither your way, even though it's almost straight up and down. You can slither your way through the cracks, and if you don't look down, you can make it. But you need someone guiding you to get to the right cracks. Some of you today have mountains in your life. They may be financial mountains, medical mountains, marriage mountains, life decision and life problem mountains. Along the way, you experience emotional summits, physical summits, social summits, educational summits. Whatever they are, we all have these journeys. This story is going to give you a guide to get to these summits and back safely, intact, knowing that you let God control your journey. You need to follow along, so get your Bible and your pen out, because you are in for some powerful guidelines to help you conquer the mountains in your life. I want you to write these 7 points, and I'll list them as we go, down in your Bible, because with this story and these 7 points, you can sit down at any curbside and help someone that is going through any kind of problem in their life. Any problem in your life is a mountain. We start with the last verse of 1 Samuel 13, verse 23. That's the last verse in Samuel 13. Now a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. There's a battle going on there. Israel is at war with the Philistines. God's people are warring against the Philistines. You are having battles with powers of darkness. The story starts, though, in Samuel 14:1. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to a young man bearing his armor. Now, Jonathan was the oldest son of Saul, so that makes him crown prince. We don't know his age, but we assume that he was a young man because it says so. Jonathan said to the young man, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." In other words, "Psst, don't tell Dad, the king." King Saul was handpicked by God. God can pick leaders, but a leader does not have to choose to stay with God. God gives us all a free choice. He even picked you for a job, as we read. He knew you in your mother's womb. King Saul had begun this emotional, spiritual meltdown, and his life was crumbling. Even now, Jonathan doesn't dare tell his dad his plan. Verse 2. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men. Verse 3. Among who was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan left. Is this a case of a missing person or a runaway? Neither. Jonathan said to himself, if no one else was willing to do God's work, I will go in faith and go forward. Verse 4. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach to the Philistine outposts was a cliff. One was called Bozaz, and the other Cinch. This is where the mountain climbing expedition occurs. Verse 5. One cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, the other to the south toward Geba. This is Mount Thielson and Mount Bailey with Diamond Lake in between. Verse 6. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows, those pagans and heathens. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Ladies and gentlemen, there are 7 short lessons in this mountain climbing experience. Lesson number 1, God doesn't need the numbers. Write this down in your Bible, and you will have them to guide you over any mountain journey in your life. Lesson number 1, God is not dependent on numbers. Once upon a time, there was a man named Gideon. He tried to gather an army to fight against the Philistines for God's people, and he looked down and said, you got way too many people. You got to cut them down. So God gave him several ways to get his numbers down. Did Gideon listen to God? Yes, he did. And he got his army down too. How many were left in Gideon's army? 300. I think this is God's army at this point. And the enemy were numbered as the sands of the seas. Why? Because God is not dependent on numbers. Did Jonathan know this story of Gideon? Yes, he did. Why? Because God is not dependent on numbers. He knew that. Once upon a time, there was a massive Israelite army, and they were all chicken livers. Do you know why? They were quivering because of one lone giant named Goliath. And along came a little kid named David. Now Jonathan and David became best friends for the rest of their lives until Jonathan was killed. Same Jonathan, same David. With one stone and one boy named David, God routs the entire enemy. You know why? Because God is not dependent on numbers. You may think you're all alone today. You are facing mountains in your life and think, I can't do this. You are right. You can't do this. But with God, you can, because He is not dependent on numbers. Verse 6, Jonathan is right. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. In fact, God Himself makes this promise in Leviticus 26:8. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. Do you know you are in a battle today? You are in a battle with the good and evil to reach your mountaintops. Look at the math God gives you. Strange math. 5 to 100. That should make 100 to 5,000, right? If you do the math, that adds up. God says, listen to my math. That will be 100 to 10,000. God says, I don't care about numbers because with me on your side, numbers don't count. Leviticus 26:8. Just a handful of you can overturn the strategy of darkness. Don't let any of you say, oh, there is not enough of us. That's lesson number one. By the way, if you want to integrate lesson number one into your life, you got to listen to lesson number seven, so stay tuned. Lesson number two is in 1 Samuel 1, verse 7. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you heart and soul. Lesson number two, so underline, go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul. Lesson number two, courage is contagious. Write that down, courage is contagious. This is where I'm straying from the Bible. I got some quotes on courage from people on the internet, and they were all good. Amelia Earhart said, courage is the price that life exacts for granting peace. Harper Lee said, I wanted you to see what real courage is. Instead of getting the idea that courage is a man with a gun in his hand, it is when you know you are licked before you begin, but you begin anyway, and you see it through no matter what. John Wayne said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Billy Graham said, courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are stiffened. Have you noticed when one moves forward, it is easier to have the courage to move forward with him or her? Why do you come to church? You know why? To give others courage, and in return, you get courage back yourself. Have you noticed when one moves forward, it is easier to have the courage to move forward with him or her? Jonathan's armor bearer says, you go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. Hit your chest hard when you say that, I am with you, heart and soul. The induced pain pushes adrenaline out to build your courage and points to your mid-chest area, your heart and soul. You know what? Courageous people are not only courageous, they are magnetic. Nobody wants to follow a whiner or a wimp. All it takes is for a courageous man, a courageous woman, to rally others. No matter where you are, a courageous person is like a magnet. Lesson number two, courage is contagious. How do you integrate that into your life? Well, don't miss lesson number seven, but first, lesson number three. So they are heart and soul together. Here's the plan, verse 8. Jonathan said, come, come, then we will cross over toward the men and let them see us. The men are their enemy over there on the mountain. Verse 9. If they say to us,
wait till we come to you,
we will say, stay here where we are and not go up to them. Verse 10. But he says to the armor bearer, if they say to us,
come up to us,
we will climb up because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. Isn't that amazing? Here Jonathan is crouched at the foot of the cliff and he says, I don't want a maybe, I want to come up. Lesson number three, write it down. With God, you must climb with an advance mentality. Not saying, I'm going to wait right here, but when the message comes, we are going to say, I am going forward. What does advance mentality mean? Seizing your moment. Somehow Jonathan understood that. When you are moving with God, you must move with an advance mentality. You move forward unless God tells you to stop. You advance until God tells you to wait. There are certain things you do not need permission to do. You are already commissioned to do them. What would that be? You never have to ask, should I share Jesus with my classmates, or my coworkers, or my neighbors? You never have to ask him. That is a no-brainer. Jesus says, share me with them. Be willing to tell everyone about God and what he has done for you. Don't say, I will wait until I am told to do this. You don't have to wait. You are commissioned to do this. You don't need your teachers, your pastor's permission. You can go ahead without asking what to do. There are certain things you do not need a calling to do. You have already been commissioned to do them. You say, I am not a teacher. I am not a preacher. I'm not a theology major or an evangelist. You do not need any credentials. You have already been given permission to do it. You have been commissioned to tell others about Jesus. Lesson number 3. With God, you must advance with an advanced mentality. Lesson number 4. So now they are showing up. They are walking across the valley floor. Guess what? Perfect. They are spotted. Verse 11. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes they were hiding in. The men at the outpost shouted down to Jonathan and his armor bearer.
Hey boys, come up to us and we will teach you a lesson.
That's lesson number 4. For some mountaintops, the greatest challenge is the arrival, not the ascent. For Jonathan and his armor bearer, the greatest challenge is not ascending the cliff, getting to the top of the mountain, but what is waiting for them at the top that will test their mettle. At times you will be able to get to the top of your mountain, but there at the top will be the test for you. You have worked so hard to get to your mountaintop. You finally got married. You finally had a baby. You finally reached your financial success. But the challenge is there. Listen, please, time out. For some mountains, the challenge is not the ascent, but the arrival. What is waiting for you at the top? It doesn't matter what your climb is like. The lesson of the story is that your arrival may turn out to be more dangerous than your ascent. Here's the point. Be advised. There is a time where the mountaintop has the enemy waiting for you. You walk straight into a trap. Elijah enjoyed one of the most daring mountaintop experiences in the history of the Bible. Elijah, who calls down fire from heaven and burns the altar and all the water that soaked it. Elijah, who defeats and slaughters 850 pagan priests of Baal. Elijah, who hours later hears the threat of a fierce queen and he crumbles. Depression, despair, I want to die. The hero broke at the mountaintop. Lesson, beware of the mountaintop you celebrate today. I am not trying to scare you, but just beware. The enemy waits on the mountaintop for you. Ellen White said, in the valley of humiliation, where men and women depend on God to teach them and to guide their every step, there is comparative safety. But the men and women who stand as if it were on a lofty pedestal or mountain, these are in gravest peril. Unless such people make God their dependence, they will surely fall. How can you avoid a meltdown at this summit of your life? You need God to make your dependence. The way to get lesson number 4 integrated in you is lesson number 7, so hold on. Lesson number 5, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 12, the last part. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. Did you catch that? He said, climb up after me. He could have said, climb up ahead of me, but lesson number 5 says, leaders must lead. It doesn't matter if you're a leader of a club, a family, or a small group, or whatever, leaders must lead. You may say, hey, I'm not a leader. I am just not a leader. I beg to differ with you. You are a leader. Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Remember this. Leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. Do you have influence on anybody? Yes, you do. If you have influence on anybody, you are a leader. Don't beg off and say, please, not me. No, you. How do you lead? How do you influence? You influence by your example. Whatever you do in life, whatever you are in life, you have influence. Children, grandchildren, co-workers, family members, neighbors, you have influence. Every time you show up with God, one may say, oh, he goes to church. Whoa, he reads his Bible. Hey, he even prays. You influence. You are a leader. Here's a credo for a spiritual leader, and you all are spiritual leaders. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. You are a leader. Sometimes in marriage, you say, my wife or my husband is going to be the spiritual leader. My friend, you have advocated your leadership. Leaders must lead. You cannot say, woman, you do it. Boy, you do it. You are a leader. Follow me as I follow the example of Christ. My wife and I agreed on one thing when we got married and had children. We were going to follow the advice of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And in fact, it became such a creed and motto for our house that Barb got a plaque and hung it up in our entryway that said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:5. We wanted our children to know that was our motto in our home. And that text was biblical. Either husband or wife, please do not advocate that responsibility to anyone. Stand up like a man or a woman and be a spiritual leader in your home. You have influence. People, children are watching. Lesson number 6. We go back to 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 12. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. Do you hear the tense? Did you notice the tense of the verb? Jonathan does not exclaim, the Lord will give them into the hands of Israel. What he cries out is, the Lord has, present, right now, we have them. Psst, hey Jonathan, you haven't even climbed the mountain yet. You haven't even begun to engage in the battle. Ah, lesson number 6, write it down. Speak faith into your climb and battle. Just say it. Just speak it. Some of you are down. You're as weak as can be. I have good news for you. All you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, and you will move mountains. Not just climb them, but move them. This is the lesson that I, and probably most of you, still struggle with. It is so easy to doubt. It is difficult for me to speak faith in something that is future. Sure, hindsight, I have all the faith in the world. You may say you don't want to get too far out on a limb because you don't want to make God look bad when he fails. Which is code for, you are going to look bad when you fail. Maybe you say, it is not God's will. Maybe God doesn't desire this. Maybe God doesn't need this to be real big now. Rubbish. Name one spiritual victory that God wants you to do half-heartedly with puny results. Name me one. He's the God of the universe. What is your mountain in front of you? You have some financial mountains, huge financial mountains. Speak faith. You have some career mountains here. Speak faith. You say, I need some promises. Oh, I'm glad you asked, because I want to share four dynamite promises you can speak faith through. First one is in Exodus 14, verses 13 to 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to stand still. Who's doing the fighting? He says, I will do it. God will do it for you. Second one is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You don't have to speak future tense, speak present tense. He's already given you this mountain. Third one is 2 Chronicles 32, 7 through 8. With us is our Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. Number four is 1 John 5, 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Almighty power is not in our faith. Our faith is in the Almighty power. For that reason only, and only that reason, Jonathan can speak faith into a battle that hasn't even commenced. They haven't even climbed the mountain. God has given it to us. Lesson number seven, final lesson. Let's read verse 12 again. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. Verse 13, Jonathan climbed up, using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. Why did the writer put the part in on his hands and feet into the story? Because even though God has already given us the victory in hand, it is going to take us fighting with him. In the King James Version, it says, on his hands and knees. Can you think of a more effective and powerful way to climb a mountain than on your hands and knees? We want to go forward on our knees. Nobody said the climb was going to be easy. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate. That's the key right there. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. If you thought that climbing the mountain in front of you is a piece of cake, let me remove you of that notion. It's a tough climb. Then how can anybody have hope at all? It's because of the way the story ends. Verse 14. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about half an acre. Now watch this. Verse 15. Then panic struck the whole army. Those in the camp and field, and those in the outpost and the raiding parties, and the ground shook. It was a panic set by God. Verse 23, so the Lord rescued Israel that day, and the battle moved beyond Beth-Aven. Because you know what? After one battle, you still have another, and another, and another, and another, until Jesus comes. That is okay. Did you catch the secret? Did you catch lesson number 7? If you get lesson number 7, you got all the other 6. They will be integrated straight into your life because you have to get lesson number 7. 1 Samuel 14:13 says, Jonathan climbed up with his armor bearer right behind him. Here it goes, lesson number 7. Stay behind your divine Jonathan. Do you know what the name Jonathan means? It means Lord, Yahweh, the Lord has given. Do you understand that? Jonathan in this story is a type, a model of Jesus Christ. For who else did God give to us to lead us up the mountain of salvation, if not for the divine Jonathan, the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Notice the similarities when they both come to their mountains. Just like Jonathan, Jesus was crawling on his hands and feet, clawing his way to the summit of Calvary. Just like Jonathan, Jesus had the enemy waiting for him at the peak, and just like the Philistines, Satan and the legions of hell will taunt,
"Come up here, boy, and we will teach you a lesson or two."
Just like Jonathan, a leader has to lead. And Jesus had the entire universe on his shoulders as he clawed his way to the summit. Jesus leads by example. And what did he do? At the moment they hoisted him on the cross, he spoke faith into the darkness. "It is finished." Faith. It looked like it was finished for Jesus, but he spoke faith. "It is finished," and the whole battle was won. The only difference is that when Jesus climbs to the mountaintop, the enemy is prepared and they kill him on the peak. But in killing him, he won. The earth shook beneath him, just like Jonathan. The enemy fled, just like Jonathan, when he won. Lesson number 7 is absolutely clear. Stay behind your divine Jonathan. That is the secret, and it is the secret of the armor bearer. He stayed right behind Jonathan. Every morning, you need to pray this prayer. Good morning, Jesus. What mountain will you be climbing today? Because I am staying right behind you the whole way. Every morning, pray this prayer. Good morning, God. What mountain will you be climbing today? Because I, by your grace, will be right behind you all the way. Do you know what Jesus says? He says the same thing Jonathan says to his armor bearer. You climb up after me, boy, girl. You climb up after me, I will go first. I am the leader, you are the follower. You don't go up any mountain on your own. I will go, you will follow. I will lead, you will follow. I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot will be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I will follow thee. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for all the promises you have in the Bible. Thank you for the guides that you have in your Bible. And help us to use these that we learned today to encourage others to get through their mountains and their lives. Help us to give courage to each other, to speak faith in our projects, but to always follow you. In thy holy name, amen.